But I started honoring more of the things that I just loved that made me happy and brought me joy, and the people that brought me joy, and then the people that didn't, I just minimized.
So now that you're not focused on the outcome, this is the,
okay,
because with social media and with how fast things happen, we look for quick results.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss an opportunity for you to share. You know, how did you get to the point where you stopped playing for the end, the outcome score? And what are some of the strategies that help you get to stay focused, like in the moment, to stay present versus looking at the end result? Because this is something that I work on all the time, breaking down the game within the game.
Yeah, tough. Well, COVID happened, and with AfterBuzz, we have this small studios. We have six studios, but it's a very small space and 400 hosts coming in and out and out. So when COVID happened, I said, we're a mom and pop shop. I'll never be, like, there's no way I can police someone not getting sick. Maria's mother has stage 4 cancer. Dr. Black operates on her. Then Maria has the brain tumor, operates on her. It was just too much. And I said, I gotta pull a plug on this with AfterBuzz, because it wasn't profitable. It was fun and we enjoyed it and all that stuff. But I was tired of trying to sell it, the big vision. Now everyone wants to do it and I don't really care. But that was when I decided to just kind of stop it and pause a little bit. And I kind of created a little bit of a formula for my life where I started, again, being more mindful. If I didn't feel good during a day, if I was depressed or was angry, upset, I started saying, okay, what did I eat today? Who did I talk to today? Where did I read? What did I do? Wait, I'm listening to all these like angry middle-aged comedians podcasts. And then after that, I'm in a really bad mood. And I'm like, you know what? So I got rid of that. Then I started saying, well, I'm in a good mood right now. Why? What? Who did I talk to? Who did I eat? Whatever. Okay. And then I started saying to myself, and I know this is not easy. This part's not easy for everybody. But then I started saying, like, what actually brings me joy? And you know what brings me joy is I love the holidays. And I'm now making holiday movies, and we're building a holiday movie company. Because Maria starred in one, and it was number one a Lifetime. And when I say we made it for nothing, it was nothing. I produce all these things for the gas pumps. I'm very much an out of household production. That's kind of what I moved into. So the airports, the gas pumps. Before Mario, Maria's been in the movie theaters, opens every movie for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
She's been on the gas pumps for 5 years.
Yeah.
And now soon we're going to do something with the airports. But Maria's seen by more people, and for what equivocates her, about 3 days worth of work a year, she's seen by 40 million people a day. Like, nobody has that exposure. But it's also great. We can promote stuff there. Yeah. And this is something I've been minding for the last decade, quietly, again, for Maria. But I'm getting back to, I'm like, wait, I just love writing the holiday movies. I'm going to go back to writing because I really enjoy it. Now, I can't do it every day because I have a job and I have to make money to support my family. But I started honoring more of the things that I just loved that made me happy and brought me joy, and the people that brought me joy. And then the people that didn't, I just minimized. And I think of the line in Social Network with Mark Zuckerberg's character when he's talking to the prosecuting attorney, and the attorney says to him, Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your attention? And he said, you have the most minimal amount of my attention. And I try to give the most minimal amount of my attention to the kind of negative and toxic things that are bothering me. And I'm aware of what they are. And even it bothered Maria, my wife, because there's certain things I'm not doing. And this morning I'm going to write, or I'm going to do a podcast, whatever it is that just brings me joy. So I started doing that. And then I noticed my physical health started getting better because I had Lyme disease. I had some other things I'd worn myself down with. And post-COVID, I wasn't right. And things just started getting better because of that. And so the more I just stay busy doing those kind of things I love while being mindful, like I have a We had AfterBuzz. One of my people, kids at work, so he's always like, "Can we get this new 4K camera? Can we get that?" And I'm like, "What do we say here now? This is the new Kev. Yeah. If it makes dollars, it makes sense. We can't be like those days are over of just buying all these toys for fun." But I love what you're doing here. I love this kind of show, and this is the kind of show that I like doing. This, I don't care if this makes a nickel or if it makes it, but it's fun to do. You meet great people. So for me, like, this would be something that, like, a hobby I would do that would give me energy. But it was all those things that helped me go, you know what, and to get away from the outcome. Just, you know, I don't know. So I don't know if that helps you, but that helped me a lot.
It helps a lot.
Well, it's you know, I made Social Network, by the way.
I didn't know that. I knew Fighter because you're, but yeah.
There's so many things you said that are serendipitous. You said, I'm like, you know, I do believe on a quantum level, but I feel like we talked a little bit about this, but I feel like it's at this because both of you have something very similar. And what it is you both find talent and you know they're going to be something before they know.
Yeah.
And you also know how to help them get there. Absolutely. And I'm sitting here like listening to both of you going, you guys are so.
But he can get them to see the path. What I now say to people is like, I see the path. It doesn't mean the path is going to happen. You've got to see it in yourself. Because I can take them. I used to, when I was younger, I'd take them halfway down the path and they would disintegrate.
Yeah, but he
like you have to see it. But you get them. Yeah, but you can get them to see the path. Because if they don't see the path, it won't work.
Yeah, you have to be a great storyteller. And so for me, like I have this photogenic memory of like the way people walk. Like I know how Ryan walks. I watch you walk in being that. Like, I know his voice. So, like, it's like, that's what I was trying to tap in. It's like gifts that I really tapped into, like Rain.
Yeah, it is. It's
the information that I'm given. Because a lot of people, they say, oh, you're the best of this. And I'm like, my real gift is something you really can't see. My real gift, I can go in and work with Ryan on all the movies and my job can be to inspire or to make people really.
Ryan, where's this TV show? Let's go. Are you right? You've got to be developing something.
This is where
that's what I see.
But this is where I was going up because what you both have, and I see it is so. I'm gonna get a little, I'll call it spooky science, but that's what Einstein called it, so I can call it that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, before they discovered the Higgs boson and quantum entanglement. You know, Einstein was working on the theory of everything when he passed away. I'd say it was the greatest thing he never discovered in his life. And he spent the end of his life in turmoil because he realized you couldn't have two forces that he had said were distinct and didn't interact, which is the kind of on an atomic level and a non-atomic level. He said, it just doesn't make sense. And he believed in God. And he had the same God doesn't roll dice. And so he spent his life trying to find what he kind of called the unified theory of everything. So they're now finding, so they found quantum entanglement is real, which is that you can take particles and you can send them the speed of light in different directions and do something to this quanta, we'll call it. It can be depending on a quark or a boson, faster than the speed of light. The exact thing happens to this one, which means they're connected. We can't see they're connected. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about it this way, and I'm putting together a bunch of different things. So for any of you, you know, Michelle Koch, who's watching me, I'm sorry that I'm not saying this right. He's like the top physicist of our time. Kip Thorne, sorry, you're at the top physicist of our time. He just won a Nobel Prize. So the interesting thing is, though, what it shows is there is a field that connects all. And the way that I like to think of it is we're like fish in an ocean. The fish don't know they're in an ocean. That's just where they live. They don't think I'm in water. And if you think about in reality, there could be a fish, you know, on one side of the Pacific and a fish on the other side, and he's making a little wave with his tail. It actually is getting to the fish on the other side of the ocean because he's moved the water. That water is moving all the way there. Now, how long it takes, we don't know.
Right.
But we have a quantum field, and we know we have a quantum field. Scientists have proven there is a field. Now, we don't know exactly what that field is, but what we know is it has to exist because something is going faster than the speed of light. And we can prove which Einstein did, that the speed of light is the universe's speed limit for something not connected. So I often meet people and, you know, realize or see like they have a special connection to everything around them. And I don't know if you have deja vu a lot, or but it's usually people who have deja vu a lot. Because what it means is, and this is at least my belief, that you kind of tapped a little more into that quantum field. And it just means whether it's because you've taken the time or you've gone through the experiences or genetics or energy. Yeah. But, you know, if you think about the concept of quantum entanglement, which is these two things are actually entangled, it means we're all entangled, right? But if you're, for whatever reason, these two things are more entangled, if you entangle with somebody, so I mean, you've connected, right? And all of a sudden you're thinking of them and the phone rings. Is it really that weird? Did you cause them to call you?
Right.
And,
oh, that song you've been thinking about, you think, and it plays. Well, that episode of a sitcom, right? And it comes on, yeah.
So to me, like, both of you guys have this. And I really, when you I hear you talk, it just so, like, comes exudes. Like, you're like, yeah, I was a little, like, beat up and, you know, I wasn't really sure of myself. But then the way you're talking, it was like you were talking like you were reading a book about that had already happened to your wife when she was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. About what's going to happen in the next 20 years, but it's already written. Yeah. Like, you knew.
Yeah.
And so to me, you've tapped in and I, as we know, learn more about science and as we learn more about what's happening in, you know, quantum levels around us, like, we're all connected. And I actually think part of the chaos in life is that as social media is making people more into this instant gratification and people feel more in that and more like failures, right? Because they're flipping through, you know, and they're not, you know, all they're not driving five, they don't have five Lamborghinis, and, you know, they're not in their mansion. They're not in the things that are fake, right? We just made a movie and one of the jokes in the movie is like, we show what's supposed to be the biggest influencer thanking our fans for, you know, for I'm flying on private jets. Then all of a sudden the guy's like, hey, you only got 5 minutes to get out of here. She's at, you know, set.
Yeah.
They do, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I feel like the world is lost because,
yeah, it is.
You know, there's so funny. I remember if it was a book that someone wrote or something I heard, which is don't read the comments. So what's happening?
Great title, by the way, right?
Like, so many people are
right.
Caught up in the comments.
Yeah.
Right. But then when you think about this, like, I feel bad for the people writing the comments, especially the ones writing the negative comments. Because if they're not getting paid to do that, like, if it's not like some part of some, you know, whatever plan to just smear you because you have some of the pit you pissed off, but they actually are taking the time to do something and be like, oh, I'm going to shit on you. That's a really unhappy person.
Yes.
And they've taken time out of their day to watch something someone else did and for no reason put it down, right? And it doesn't help them. It doesn't make them feel better.
No.
What that means is they're just really, really unhappy.
It's a great empathetic approach to them, but in a healthy one, you know?
I actually do feel bad because I'm like, wow. Like,
oh, yeah, when you really break it down. That.
What would I be feeling? I have to be really upset at someone. I'd have to be really upset at myself or the world or
really unhappy.
Terrible would have had to happen.
Really unhappy. You know, I when I talk, think about being more mindful, if you are that person and you see the person with the yacht or the jet, and take the time. Does it make you feel bad? Great. And you know what? Mute it. Mute them. That's it. Simple. Don't look at it. It's just like, you know, like, again, if you take that time and you go, wait, I don't feel, after you're doing all the scrolling, whatever, ask you, do I feel good? I don't really feel so good right now. Okay. So I follow more people that have beautiful stories, people helping each other, things that make me cry, you know, like yeah.
It's a part of your process, the process of elimination.
And that
small, that he said it. He's like, this is where I'm at right now. I found out what makes me happy, but everything that you said that made you happy had nothing to do with making money.
None of it. No.
To do with your inner peace, which allows for you to pour into other people. So you're actually filling your own cup.
Yes.
So when that's very important in life is we look to other people to fill our cup. But you just told me how you filled your cup. and you're filling your own cup by making sure that you're getting positive information. You're getting things that either you're interested in or can encourage you to be a better person. You eliminated this.
Yeah.
The process of elimination is very critical.
It's interesting because I never would have done that until this age. Did you guys, have you ever been on the, anyone had the unfortunate experience to be with people on their deathbed?
Yes. I've been there.
With someone yesterday, and
sorry,
you know, as we speak.
Okay, so I've been on several, and this is the one consistent thing that I have found with people in their last days. And tell me if you guys have experienced this as well. But I've never been, and I've, some of them were very good people, and some were not so good. Some were pretty nasty, you know, capitalists, like just ruthless people. But the one consistent thing was, it was never, none of them ever said, you know what? I went out, made $200 million. I came from nothing. Every single one of them wanted to share a story where they helped someone else. My dad, he was a fireman in a construction work. He's like, you know, Kev, I saved 10 people. I'm like, that's amazing, Dad. Another guy, Maria, there's another guy that wasn't such a nice guy, but was like, so this one kid, he got into gambling debt, and the mob was going to get him. It was $50,000, but I was the one who went to the temple and said, come, and I'll, and I said, okay, we'll come up with the money. And I get, that's all he wanted to talk about. And so when you think about at the end of these people's lives, that's all that mattered. Who they helped, who they touched, who they served. It's never like, oh, I made all this money. No, 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 never. It's like, remember that one time I went and did? Yes, I remember that. It was always that.
So I don't know if you saw that episode I did with the Rabbi Leader.
Yes,
he,
by one of them.
He was, you know, I'd say he's arguably one of the more prolific rabbis, one of the smartest guys I've ever met. I was his first bar mitzvah, so I've known him since I was a kid. And I forgot the number of funerals, you know, he presided over, but it's thousands, right?
Yeah.
And when I say funerals, but also sitting over people's, you know, deathbeds. And he said exactly what you said. He said, you know, I've been with the wealthiest, and I've been with the poorest, and I've been with, as they're dying, he said one thing that not one of them ever said it. I wish that I worked harder. Or I wish that I made more money.
Yeah.
He said, and you know what? Pretty much every one of them said, I wish I spent more time with my family.
Yeah.
I wish I spent more time helping people. I wish I spent more time, you know, telling people I love them. And it's pretty amazing because here's a guy who literally has said, I mean, if you look at his congregation, it's, you know, all of Hollywood and
yeah.
all the business people and all the, you know, and, you know, when you put it in that perspective, and that's why I think Einstein was so amazing when he said, try not to be a man of success, but try to be a man of, I forgot if he used the word virtue or value, but you know, it's one and the same, but it's not one and the same.
I like value even better than virtue because virtue, it's tough. You know, we should all be empathetic to everyone. Everyone's going to make mistakes, but I think value is something we can all provide.
I
bet you he did.
But that was always to me such a, like, you think about it, because we're taught, especially in Western culture, especially in the United States, you know, I mean, I was just my parents, you're going to go to law school, you're going to go to business school, you're going to go be a doctor, right? Like, I did the same exact thing as you, like, that's what you do, and that's what my friends did, and that's, you know, and, you know, my high school, I went to Brentwood, we talked about this, you're judged a lot by, like, what you have, and who your families are, and you know, that's when I was, it's only worse now, right? And, you know, it's, I think it's a really, really, really tough place right now because social media has sped up this notion, you know? It used to be, you had books like The Millionaire Next Door, I don't remember that book.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good book about all these people nobody knew were millionaires. They were next door quiet. But you don't have that anymore.
No.
Right, there's nothing's hidden. And even the people who are trying to do good and have money, they still get written about.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I don't know. I think you really are doing God's work and in a way, whatever God you believe in.
Yeah.
But you are because you're helping people. And that became your life mission. But your failure early on.
It was all a failure. Yeah.